A lot of people try to describe salvation in different ways. But I want to tell you, Scripture makes it really clear. Matter of fact, it says is that salvation is knowing Him. Yeah. Knowing Him. Yeah. My friend Jessica's here. I'm going to introduce her in a little bit. She's fixing to go to Panama as a missionary. You know, we've had Julia Kinsley and Gina Scher go to that part of the world, Central America. And I can remember in the 80s when I was in that area doing crusades that there was actually a part of that world, and you guys were there, where that in the 80s at least, I don't know how it is now, but in the 80s, they wouldn't even name their little ones when they were born, or they wouldn't even mark the birthday because a lot of them didn't live. And so it was the type of thing that when you asked little ones, well, when's your birthday? They didn't know that. They had an idea about how old they were. But the birthday was not marked. And so I'm here to tell you that sometimes there's an emphasis on being born again that if you have a specific hour or date or time or place, then you're okay. And I want to tell you, it's possible to grow up in church, grow up in a pastor's family. I'm saying that not to berate pastors, because we love pastors, we love leadership. We minister to pastors, but it's possible what I'm saying is to grow up in a godly home and not ever really connect with Him personally, not ever really know Him. And so knowing Him is vital. That's what eternal life is. And I'm saying that to you because I was doing a spiritual emphasis week at a college, and that's like their revival week, and I was having a blast preaching the revival that week at the college, but I was meeting with students every day. They gave me an office, and they just come in one right after another. I was having so much fun ministering Jesus. But I want to tell you something. One of the little ladies came in, and she was a preacher's kid. She grew up in a pastor's home. And so she's kind of sharing. There's some confusion. And the Spirit just prompted me. She doesn't know me. And so I just interrupted her and said, "You don't really know the Lord." And she began to cry. And I said, what is your experience or anything about salvation?" She said, "I don't really know Him." She said, "When I went forward, a deacon pointed at a card. He asked me, 'What do you want?' And I told him, 'I need Jesus.' He said, 'Just check that box right there.'" And that's all that happened. I said, "There was no follow-up?" "No." "Nobody talked to you about personally?" "No." And all she had to base her salvation on was a check in the box. Now, I'm going to give you great news. When you come and receive Christ, you get Him. New life. That's why it's called born again. Your spirit's actually born again. And the very Spirit of Jesus comes to dwell in your spirit. You say, "Well, I don't understand that." Well, it's real. You may not understand electricity, but it's real. And I want to tell you, it's so exciting to have His life in you. So let me announce to you, if you know Jesus, His life, the very life of Christ. Wait a minute. The same life that He lived while He was here on earth. That's good. The resurrection life that He experienced dwells in you. That's good. And so I'm telling you, even the ascension life that He experienced, the throne life that He's living, dwells in you. Because according to the Bible, I'm not asking you to understand it with your reasoning. According to the Bible, He's in you and you're in Him. Now that's supernatural. That's Jesus. That's not religion. That's relationship with Jesus. And that's what we call real Christianity. It's relationship. It's a lot more than a check in a box. And so I don't know exactly what, your experience is, but here's what Hebrews 10:20 says. I'm reading this out of Amplified today because I want to point some things to you that comes out of the original language that's just beautiful. You just got to see this because it'll affect you. I've never gotten over it. Here it goes. By this fresh, new, and living way. That's what happens when you receive Christ. You get new life, But you also get a new way of living. Because his life's in you. Is that great news? Hey, you may be grunting, you may be sweating, trying to make it happen. But I want to tell you, when you connect with him and let him be the center of your life, his life has a way of flowing and enriching you and flowing through you. It's Jesus' life in you. And he says, by this fresh, new, and living way which he initiated and dedicated and opened for us by the separating of the curtain, remember the veil being torn in the Holy of Holies, I want to tell you we have complete access to him. This is why there's emphasis in this season that needs to be all year long, that he is God with us, Emmanuel. He's with us. Wow. Because he's with us, all things are possible in this life because it's his life in us. Isn't that what Paul said? I live by the faith of the Son of God. He lives in me. Wow. It's God kind of life. Hey, look at this. Hey, it's a new and living way every day now. Every day now. And so don't think just because you're having a bad day that it doesn't work for you. No, he's working in you. Okay? John 20, look at this. This is 30, 31 in John 20. There were also many other signs and miracles which Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Every now and then I run across somebody and say, well, that's not a major emphasis. You can't prove that Jesus did that more than once. Well, if he did it once, it's very, very real. And it's an expression of Jesus. If it's an expression of Jesus, he said, these are my Father's works. So it's just like Father. You've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Let me just announce to you about this. I had someone point out to me, and this is their reverence. Well, he only walked on the water one time. Well, then he's a water walker. And let me say, because of this verse, he may have done that more than once. We don't know, but what we do know by what the Holy Spirit's given us in this is way more than enough for us to operate in this life with the life of Christ. It's Christ's life. Look at this. But these are written and recorded in order that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God, that through believing and cleaving and trusting and relying upon him, that's a lot more than head knowledge. That's a lot more than a mental acknowledgement. I don't know, sometimes I hear people say, well, all you got to do is just believe that he was on earth. Now, you believe he's a Christ. Okay, there are segments out there that claim to be Christian that don't believe that he's the Christ, that he's the Son of God. They believe that he's a prophet or a teacher. No, I'm telling you, he's Christ. He's the Son of the living God. And that through believing and cleaving to, trusting and relying upon him, that's more than mental acknowledge. That's not sweat on our part. It's surrender on our part. Do you see that? You may have life through his name. Life through his name. What kind of life are we talking about? A whole lot more than the bio life. We're talking about Zoe life. We're talking about the God kind of life is right now on the inside of you. And he wants to just be himself in you, in your personality, in your gifting, in your weakness. He wants to be himself in you. Wow. So we have life in his name by believing and receiving. Same type of life. Somebody say, same type of life. I want to tell you, what you see the body of Jesus doing in the New Testament, that's what the body of Christ is to do today. Say, well, I don't understand that. Well, you don't have to. We're just going to let Jesus be Jesus. Our part's to believe and receive. He manifests himself. But I love it because it's freedom life. Freedom to do what he wants. Now, sometimes I run across people in churches. Matter of fact, this happened in a state not too far away where that they were talking about, yeah, we love freedom. But their emphasis on freedom was to do what they want, when they want, as they want. And then, no. You got the wrong definition of that. It's freedom to do what the Lord wants. It's freedom to prefer him. It's freedom to esteem him. It's freedom to let Jesus be Jesus in you. And they said, well, no, we have grace. I said, it's the wrong definition of grace. Grace is unmerited favor towards you. It's not an excuse to be lazy. Freedom is not an excuse to be disobedient. Freedom is not an excuse for you to be rude, crude, and ugly.
Amen.
I'm just sharing with you, what direction are you looking? Because I want to tell you, you can take any scripture, any teaching in scripture, and if you focus too much on yourself, you can pollute it. At least dilute it and pollute it. But I want to tell you what's great about Freedom Life. It's not limited by temporal boundaries. Aren't you glad about that? I want to tell you, his life is stronger than death.
Amen.
Wow. His life displaces evil. The light that he is chases away every depth form of darkness. That's how powerful he is. And he dwells in you. And so you just look at the new birth. If you receive Jesus Christ, he transforms us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. It's that quick. Okay? You were transformed from being an enemy of God to being a son and daughter of God. That's worth it. The blood of Jesus removes the curse of sin and the stain of sin. Jesus is your literal peace. That's what he wants to be. Not peace as the world defines. We're going to read that. But he wants to be your peace. Not here. I mean, yes, here. But here. To the place that you know him and know personally that he's your peace. Hey, see, we receive peace. We don't make it. We don't work it. We don't construct it. We receive it. It's a supernatural birthright from Jesus because of your salvation. And so he's my peace. He wants to be your literal joy. Okay? I know there's a lot of sadness on this earth, but I want to tell you who's in you. Jesus is in you, and Jesus ain't sad. I want to give you another word. Jesus ain't mad. Peace. You know what? There's a joy of Jesus that we can receive. I used to have a little hydrant that I'd take to churches and show, but, you know, in your spirit, full-grown Jesus, all the joy you could ever use on this earth, more than. Peace in here, more than. Love in here, more than. And you know what? I want to tell you, ever since the day of Pentecost, the hydrant's been turned on full speed from God. It's on. There's a hydrant on our end, in our soul. And we have the choice, a chooser in our soul, to turn it down or to turn it up. Now, we can be deceived in thinking that it's normal for it just to drip. But I'm telling you, we have a chooser. When we believe, right, we'll receive. Amen. And I want to tell you, it's very, very exciting to know that we're not operating in all of the peace, joy, and love that we can be, but we're going there, and part of the definition of maturing is that we're walking in more and more of it.
Yes.
Because we're discovering how real and how available that it is. This is for you. Hey, you say, well, I really messed up. It's for you.
Amen.
Well, I haven't been walking in it. It's for you.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, he wants you to know this in a personal way. He's our hope. He is our restoration. And remember, I shared on this just a couple of weeks ago, setting the stage for this sermon, that shalom peace is more than just a peace of mind. It is that, but it's a lot more than that. It also means health. It also means wholeness. I mean, shalom peace is beautiful. I didn't get any loud amens. Go back a couple weeks and listen to the sermon. John 14:27 says this, peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Hey, it's your inheritance.
Amen.
It's your birthright. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. And so the world's definition is just absent of trouble. Jesus goes deeper down in here. And he says, I got peace for in here, down deep, where no man can reach. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. You say, Brother Tim, I get there. I know. We're not throwing Bibles at you for getting there. We get there. But here's the good news. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to live there.
Amen.
We don't have to be deceived to the place of thinking that this is normal Christianity, because that's subnormal Christianity. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That helps me preach faster. Okay, it goes like this. Look how the Amplified brings this out. It says, neither let them be afraid. God didn't design you for fear. He didn't design you for a troubled heart. Look how the Amplified brings this out. Stop allowing yourself. Allowing, does it look like that we have some choice in that? That we can use our chooser to turn on the hydrant of receiving peace and love and joy more than we can even handle? Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. Now, I had a coach that really loved the Lord a lot and helped me out, and I was a blessing to him too. But he would tell me sometimes, you know, because of his background, he'd say, hey, I'll walk with the Lord, but every now and then I just deserve a good mad. Well, that doesn't bless anybody else. Really doesn't bless you either. And deserving it? No, let's not go there. See, God gave emotions, but I want to tell you there's a difference between emotions that lead you toward the Lord and emotions that lead you away from the Lord. We need to use a little discernment on that. Turn the hydrant on for emotions that lead you into the Lord, toward the Lord and in the Lord. The things of the Lord, the person of the Lord. Hey, put the brakes on the emotions that draw you away. We have the chooser. So stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Wow, that covers a lot right there. Let me make it real clear. Christ wants you to be, your heart to be trouble-free. Anytime your heart gets troubled, and it happens to us, you know what he wants us to do? Bring it to him. Now, do this, because one of the biggest mistakes that believers make is that they just kind of make a drive-by at the Lord and kind of toss it out there. And if they don't see any witness of it being gone, they say, it don't work for me. No, what I'm telling you is that you go to the throne room, go to the feet of Jesus, and stay there till it's gone. And you get that release from the Lord. It's supernatural, because he gives peace. You bring your burden to him, he'll give you rest. He'll give you peace. And when he does, then you know what? You're free. Now, if it shows up an hour later, go back. Don't settle for it being normal. That's subnormal Christianity. He paid the price for us to be free from a troubled heart. And so he wants your mind to be anxiety free. Well, it's real popular today. Well, it's not in heaven. And it's not in you, because he dwells in you. And I want to tell you, he paid a supreme price for you to be free from anxiety. Hey, he paid a high price for you to be worry free. I want you to turn to someone on your right and say, I'm too blessed. No, y'all not doing it. Come on now. Y'all taking up precious preaching time right here. Okay. I'm too blessed to stress. That's just because of Jesus. It's not because of changed circumstances. It's not because everybody smiles at you. It's because of who he is in you, and we have a divine right to receive it. And so he'll give you rest. Listen, this is a part of the finished works. I was sharing with a group of leadership not too long ago. I'm not going to say what state, because they probably listening. But y'all know it turned out well if you're listening. Okay. But it came out something like this. Well, we know it's a promise, but wait a minute. That's the wrong approach. See, you're approaching promise in Scripture like the world's view of promise. The world's view of promise is, well, I'll do it if it's convenient. I might or I might not. You say it was a contract. Well, that's what we got lawyers for. Get out of contracts. You know, it's a different world. But when the Bible speaks of a promise, it's not speaking. Yes, it is an expectation of God's goodness in your future. It is a promise from God, and the Bible says he cannot lie. But listen, this is what I want to make clear to you. It's not just a promise like the world talks about. When the Bible speaks of promise, it's talking about the price that he paid for it to be fulfilled. And so I'm telling you, when you see a promise in Scripture, it's a fulfilled reality for you. Boy, we capture that and you put your name on it. This is for me. This is for you. This is for the body of Christ to look like the body of Christ. Perfect? No. Not in perfection, in direction. God's love is ever present, ever available. Boy, I preached on that a couple weeks ago. And I'm sharing this with you because if you have one foot in the peace of God and one foot on the love of God, I want to tell you what it does. It gives you confidence in God. You don't have to rely on what the world calls confidence or cockiness or bluffing your way through. This is where we get to rest and receive because of the confidence that we have in God. We let God be God. And let him do things in and through our life that we're not able to do. That's how the world says, that's not like you because I know you. Tell me about that. And you say it's J-E-S-U-S. What does that spell? Who do you love?
Jesus.
Who loves you?
Jesus.
Who died for you?
Jesus.
Man, he paid a severe price for you to enjoy unconditional, unlimited love life of the Father. And that's for here and now. I know we talk about heaven. I got a little paps that's on his way to heaven. He's going to go any hour, any day right now. He's on the way, and he's excited to get there, okay? But I want to tell you something. He wants me to talk about heaven a lot. I do. I talk to him about heaven. It's a great encouragement to him. But I want to tell you, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to enjoy all the peace and the joy and the love that Jesus is. Because you're not a regular human. You're a saved human, new birth, Jesus dwells in you, and the time's been fulfilled, the cross is paid for our favor and forgiveness, and it's a gift. Now we get to know him. We get to enjoy his love, his joy, his peace. It's a gift. The resurrection is our living proof, because when he rose again from the dead, he rose without our sins. He took our sins on the cross, he rose again, he didn't have our sins. Paid for, they're gone.
Amen.
And he's present. And guess what is a part of this package of benefits? The rule of the devil is broken. That's what the cross was about. It was victory. Even when we take communion, we proclaim his death. Why? Because through his death, we get his life.
Amen.
Through his death, we get our victory. Because he's our victory. The rule of the devil has been broken. It's defeated. As it was prophesied in Genesis, the cross crushed the head of the enemy. And now we get to live in the kingdom of a champion. Is that good news? We belong to the champion. Man, we're a championship team. We're on a winning team. And he sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us. And as a result, we get the fruit of kingdom life to be manifested in our life. That's it. And so I want to tell you, when you see Tim or anybody else and you say, wow, that was so kind. That was so loving. That was so caring. That was so peaceful. Man, there's joy there. Man, self-control there. You know, don't point to Tim. That's the fruit of the Spirit being manifested. But you know what? That's normal Christian living. That's what he wants, and that's what's available. So don't settle for less than that. Are you with me on that?
Yes.
Great. That means I can start preaching on the new part. Okay. He's given us authority to push back darkness. The light of his truth is here in us to enforce the victory won on the cross over the devil. It's to enforce it against him and his forces. And so we've got a lot more to do than just come and hide out in a cave and hide out in our homes and wait till it's all over. No, I'm telling you, we're still here on earth for a purpose, a divine purpose. And you know what? We're to advance the kingdom now. Everything's here. Everything's ready. As a matter of fact, he's placed in you everything you'll need for a Jesus journey in this life. Amen, Brother Tim. His salvation. We get to know God is our Father. He's our Abba. He's our Father. You know what? We get to be a part of a nation, part of a team where Jesus is our champion. He's our King. Is that great? Jesus is our King. Hey, he's given us, this is through grace. He's given us his passion, his love. And that love conquers. Love wins. Love wins in the end. I know sometimes you minister and share love and it's thrown back in your face, it's stomped on, made fun of. But I'm here to tell you, love conquers. And the evidence we have is because his love conquered on the cross for all of us. And we get to express his love. Now, sometimes that's in uncomfortable ways here, that we get to choose him and choose his love over ourselves. But that's where kingdom of God is advanced. We're here to advance the kingdom, to multiply the kingdom for his honor and glory. And all the people said. Okay, in Acts 13, 2, the leaders in Antioch were, the Bible says they were ministering to the Lord. Boy, I love that. Because actually, when you look it up, it talks about this. They were worshiping him. They had plenty to pray about. But they were worshiping him. They were adoring him. They were loving on him. Now, I want to tell you, you take time to love on the Lord, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to experientially know that he's loving you back. It's irresistible. He can't help himself because he loves you so much. He initiates it. He draws you. And hey, in the exchange of love life, you get super duper blessed because he's got that divine love that he pours out on you. And I want to tell you, that's healthy for you. The leaders at Antioch Church were ministering to the Lord. They were worshiping him. And then they got divine direction that affected the body of Christ from there on out. Hey, sometimes we're seeking for an answer, and it's probably more important if we just seek him, and we just let him love on us, and we take time to love on him. And in the process of that love exchange, you know what? You get revelation. I'm going to share this with you, and you don't have to agree. You know, it's not going to hurt my feelings, but you don't have to agree. But I think the Lord's created us with this emotional cup because he created us, and he created emotions. And I know there's a lot of preaching against emotions, and there ought to be, because there's a lot of the world that lives by their emotions. Their emotions are the engine when it should be the caboose. You should be telling your emotions where to line up and where to go, and not your emotions telling you how to live. But I want to tell you, there are godly emotions, and I think the Lord's designed that emotional cup to overflow. Now, we see that happen in our world with people that sometimes it's just something real simple and real little, and boy, their cup overflows, and what comes out is nasty and gross and mad and sad at the same time, and it just seemed like a way too much expression for what happened. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I got examples. No, I'm not going to talk about you. But it goes like this. I think the Lord's designed our emotional cup to overflow in love life with him. Because I want to tell you, it's healthy for your emotional cup to empty. And I think it's to be such a place where that privately and personally with the Lord, you have such expression of love that you're overwhelmed. You empty the cup. That's healthy for you. We need that. You can't stuff. You can't stuff and stuff and stuff. He designed you to release it in the right direction toward him at the right time. I'm telling you, he has a way of you emptying your emotional cup in love life with him where he fills it full of himself, peace, joy, and love. And I want to tell you, your life is a whole lot better off when you have your journey with your emotional cup full of love, joy, and peace and not madness and sadness. Are you with me on that? And so that's why I'm saying to you, do this privately, but also it needs to be a mark of believers publicly. I want to tell you, you're too nice in your worship. I'm not getting on to you. I'm encouraging you. You're in your worship. I want to tell you, this is the quietest place you'll ever worship compared to heaven. It's going on up there. And the Bible even instructs us to come before the Lord with a shout of victory. It didn't say a mumble and a grumble of victory, a whisper of victory with a shout. But why? Because he's worthy. And you know I'm not teaching you anything, but we bring, and I've got to minister to some of the Dallas Cowboys in the past. And I remember thinking, if I could bring them to other places where I speak, the people would be such, oh, you know, they'd celebrate, they'd clap. They'd shout, they'd carry on. And I remember this happening. I was with Keith Green. Man, he was so good for me. But I was with him when we were at this, it was a Jesus Jamboree. And he was fixing to go up on stage and they announced him. And man, everybody commenced to just shouting and clapping and carrying on. And he looked over at me and he said, nobody has celebrated the King like that tonight. And so I thought, uh-oh, I know what's coming. And he got up and actually rebuked the crowd and told them, there's no way you should have celebration of me over Jesus. And he said, we're just going to take a time out and we're going to celebrate Jesus until it's right. And they did. And I want to tell you, it was very, very powerful. And boy, did it ever make a mark on me. Well, you heard about it. And so this is the way that the Lord's designed us to operate. And I just want to encourage you, practice loving on the Lord privately. And when you come publicly, hey, be bold, be loud, wear your garments of praise. I don't care what they look like, but make them garments of praise. And let's honor and celebrate the King in a way he's worthy of. Now, what I'm just encouraging you to do is to ease out of our little comfort zone. Why? Because he's worthy. Amen. Amen on that. Because of the shed blood, and Hebrews 4:16 says this, that should be in your notes, that because of Jesus' shed blood, I can always come boldly before the throne of grace. Whether you've got mud on your shoes or not, you can come running. Because he wants to receive of you. He wants to love on you. And we can worship him and adore him. Romans 14:17, it talks about what the kingdom of God is, righteousness, peace, and joy. And I want to tell you, when we just feast on that we're the righteousness of God in Christ, not because of us, because of what he's done. He gave us his righteousness because of him. I mean, when Father looks at you, he sees the rightness of Jesus on you. Is that good? He's not looking at your sin count. He's looking at the righteousness of his son. Hey, on the cross, he took everything that we were that's gross and wrong, and we became what he is. I'm telling you, that's royalty. That's purity. That's love and grace and forgiveness. And when Father looks at you, that's what he sees. He sees his son, because his son is representing us. We have one that made it to the throne. And it's Jesus. And according to the Bible, he's our joint heir. And so whatever is happening to him is happening to us. Is that good news? Well, I just want to tell you that when we feast on that, let me tell you what it does. It makes your soul healthy. It has a way of purifying. The Word can do that. Focusing on the love and peace of God, it will purify your soul. Where that, even as it talks about in little 3 John 2, that, you know, the purpose, the expectation is for our soul to be healthy. If your soul's healthy, let me just say this. It gives you like a strong immune system. A healthy soul does. We know what a healthy immune system does for your physical body. Now, I want to tell you, there's a lot of times that your immune system, when it's strong and healthy, hey, it's designed to arrest the invaders that come into your body. Arrest them. Take it away. Where that you're not affected by it into sickness. There's a battle going on. And a healthy immune system gives you a position to win. Amen. And so there's a lot of things that we wouldn't get if we had a healthy immune system. You understand that? Now, having a healthy immune system doesn't mean you won't be attacked. It doesn't mean you won't ever get sick. But how many of you would like to have a healthy immune system where that when you do get sick, you're sick for a shorter period of time? With less consequences? With a quicker recovery? And you don't get sick as often? Anybody for that? Thank you for having sense. I'm preaching in the right place. But I'm saying to you, this is the way it works for your soul also. Hey, by focusing on and letting, be grounded in the peace of God and the love of God. Guess what? It creates a type of spiritual immune system. It doesn't mean you won't be tempted. Doesn't mean that you won't be attacked. It doesn't mean that you won't fail. But how many of you would like to have a healthy immune system spiritually? Hey, a soul that's prospering, like little John 3:2 talks about, where that not only are you prospering in your soul, but also the things out here that you touch are prospering in a Jesus victory manner, even with relationships. And also it says that even your body will prosper. Now, I want to tell you, those are benefits. Now, that's the only kind of fits we want, is benefits. But I'm telling you, those are powerful benefits. And so I'm telling you, there's like a spiritual immune system. And let me rush into this, okay? So let's see what we do with it. Isaiah 54:17. But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Now, it doesn't say that weapons aren't formed against you.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Weapons are formed. They're activated. But what this is saying, because of Jesus, we're getting to it, is that they will not be successful against you.
Amen.
Is that good news?
Yes.
Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. And I want to tell you, this is the way a lot of attacks come, is through words.
Yes.
Boy, you come next week because we're going to talk about Christmas and the power of words in Christmas. I think you're going to like it. I like it. I ain't been able to get off of it all week. Still writing it, trying to make it shorter. But it goes like this. Hey, those words, because of Jesus and the defense system he's put in you, they still hurt. They're not nice. Hey, they're words that come against you. But according to this, they will not be successful against you because you personally will renounce those words. Now, that's speaking of power for victory. That's what Jesus has given us. Hey, Isaiah 54 is talking about the benefits of what he won in Isaiah 53 on the cross. This says this. This is out of the Amplified. This peace. Somebody say, he's my peace. This righteousness. Somebody say, he's my righteousness. This security. Somebody say, he's my security. This triumph over opposition. Somebody say, he is my triumph over opposition. This is the heritage. Your inheritance. Finished. Justified. Done. This is your heritage as the servants of the Lord. Look how the Amplified brings this out. It's beautiful. Those in whom the ideal servant, notice capital S, talking about Jesus, the servant of the Lord is reproduced. I want to tell you, it's reproduced in you. Hey, it's an inside work. It's transformation. This is what he does. And this is the gift of righteousness. This righteousness is the gift of righteousness. Hey, and the vindication, which means it's as free from blame and suspicion. Is that good news? Well, I want to tell you, suspicion all by itself has been enough to put people down. The blame shame game the enemy's famous for. But I want to tell you, this says that we're free from that. That they obtained from me. Notice it didn't say attain. It says obtain. Obtain, that's a gift. It's our position in the Lord. And he says, and this is through the Amplified, I impart to them as their justification. This is a part of your salvation.
Yeah.
That's part of the package. No weapon formed. Look at this, Psalm 91:13. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. I love that because the enemy can show up in different forms and different ways. But he says, victory. You'll trample them underfoot. Luke 10:19, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample, stomp on the serpents and scorpions. Whatever form the enemy may show up in, we have authority to stomp on it, to win. Physical and mental strength and ability. Is it spiritual? Yes. Does it affect you physically? Yes, the victory will. The victory can restore you physically, can restore your mental strength. It's no doubt that when you're in a battle, you're drained. But according to this, we have authority not only to win, but also to be restored. Amen. Over all the power that the enemy possesses. You don't have to be scared. Okay? Nothing and in any way shall harm you. Is that great news? 2 Corinthians 4:4. For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds. Now, this is why we pray, and we do it in every Mountain Movers meeting, we pray for eyes to be opened, that people will have their eyes and ears open so that they can see Jesus for who he really is. This is what, you know what he does? He blinds. Somebody say deceived. Yeah, that's a good description of being deceived, is being blind, that they're walking in foolishness because they're not seeing the light. But I'm telling you, we can pray for an awakening. That's a powerful prayer. Paul prayed it in some strong ways that I don't have time to go into. But he's praying for the eyes to be opened that they'll see the light of the gospel. 1 Peter 5:8, be well balanced. Somebody say, be healthy.
Be healthy.
Yeah, I'm talking about being soul healthy here. Okay? Be vigilant and cautious at all times. That means we need to be on the alert. We don't need to slumber. We don't need to sleepwalk. Okay, the enemy wants to give people a sleeping pill and just have them doze, just drift along. Why? Be alert, because the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom someone to seize upon and devour. Now, I'm saying to you that if you have a healthy soul, it doesn't mean that you won't get attacked, because sometimes we're attacked because of wrong thinking. As a matter of fact, a lot of times your battle will reveal a lie that you believe in. You can get attacked for wrong believing, wrong action. That's why we're against sin, because it puts a target on your back saying, stick me here, hit me here. You're inviting the enemy. You say, well, I just every now and then have to give somebody a piece of my mind. No, you've already done that too much. You don't have that much left. Don't do that. Okay, but here's the deal. Sometimes you're attacked because you're doing something right. And see, there's resistance and there's challenge. Hey, in Panama, you're going to be challenged. Just because there's an enemy there, and you're there to bring the kingdom of light into darkness. Well, there's attack there. And so just because you see attack, don't be a judge. Be a prayer warrior. Be a supporter. Look what 1 John 4:4 says. Little children, you're of God. You've already defeated. Does that mean already? You've already defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who lives in you, is he alive in us?
Yes.
Do we have his life?
Yes.
We have access to his peace and his joy and his love more than we can even use up on this earth. He who lives in you is greater and mightier than he who's in the world. And so we have authority in Christ. I want you to see that over all of his cohorts. We have authority to tread upon the lion and the cobra, whatever way shows up. Psalm 91 talks about the fowler snare. Sometimes we get trapped, we get tricked, but it says Jesus will be your rescue. Is that great news?
Yes.
Well, I want to tell you, we need to turn the tables. I'm saying this to the church. From being people on the defense, which is important, we're to be sober-minded, we're to be a lookout and to watch out, not just for yourself, but for others. That's what love does. But at the same time, go from defense to offense. You cannot win a game just on defense. Amen, Brother Tim.
Amen.
Well, I know it's real deep, but here we go. You know, we need to be on the offense. Our role, then turn the tables. Our role in this increasingly dark world, dangerous world, isn't to be a sissified Christian, passive, indifferent, just ignoring what's happening around, just our four no more hiding out in the cave, no, 1,000 times no, just waiting, I hope we're not devoured by the lion, no, we're endued with power and authority to hunt down the roaring lion. Man, are you hearing that?
Yes.
All right, I got a couple more minutes. You give me a couple more minutes. This is the way Jesus operated on the earth. Acts 10:38. God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, same Holy Spirit that's in us, right? With strength and ability and power. Now, how he went about doing good. This ought to be our testimony, the body of Christ. We go about doing good, in particular, curing all who are harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. Why? Because God's with us.
Amen.
I want to tell you about Samson right quick. This is out of Judges 14, verse 5. And I got to do this fast. But it goes like this. Samson's traveling, and the Bible says that he's in the vineyards of Timnah. And it hit me one day when I was traveling to minister because I pulled off the highway, the main highway, to a rest area. And so you know what I was up to? I was resting. Because the first question that hit my mind was, what was he doing in the vineyard when he was traveling to the, huh? No, I think he was having a rest area. Now, this is personal. You get to heaven, Samson tell you that wasn't the case. It's all right. He'll forgive me before I get there. But while he was there resting, I see, in the vineyard of Timnah, he was suddenly ambushed by a lion. A lion attacked him. Now, you know, counselors will tell you there's three possible responses here, and you know what they are. Either to fight, to flight, or to freeze up. So what would you do? Well, most people take flight. Most people freeze. I love this about Samson. I love this about warriors in the Lord. He fought, he attacked back. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. See, that's what made the difference. Muscle man? No. I think he was a skinny guy that received the Spirit of the Lord, just like you and I can receive the Spirit of the Lord to overcome whatever lion comes against us. And he tore the lion apart as you would tear apart a young goat, though he had no weapon in his hand. Why? Because the battle is the Lord's. Man, that's something we ought to repeat over and over. The battle is the Lord's. Now, that's taking authority. Hey, here it is. The hunter came at Samson and found himself hunted. That's the way the kingdom of darkness needs to look at us. Because I want to tell you, they know you. They know you already. And if you know, if you have a healthy soul, they recognize it. They can't see everything. They can't read your mind. But I want to tell you, what comes out of your mouth with a healthy soul is the Word of God. It's hope. It's faith. It's love, joy, and peace, and they don't want anything. Hey, I'm telling you, it's a kind of a lion repellent. Okay? I showed the beautiful blonde. We went to the place where the beaver has all kind of fun stuff. What's the name of it? Bucky's it is. Thank you. You've been there. I showed her a corner that most people don't go to because they had hunting stuff in there. You didn't know that? Boy, yeah, go find that corner. Got hunting stuff, got knives, flashlights. I was telling her, these are great stocking gifts right here. I have a witness. But one of the things they had was a bear repellent. I wanted to buy it. Now, I don't face any bears. I just wanted the thing. I didn't buy it. I was so under self-control because my wife was with me. I didn't buy the bear repellent. But I want to tell you what this spoke to me was this. Is that when we have a healthy soul, it's like a lion repellent. Now look, I have to wear skeeter repellent all the time. Because I got sweet meat. And they like me. And once they bite me, they're flying off and they explode and say there's power in the blood, what they're singing. But I draw fire. If there's skeeters out there, you want me near you because I draw fire and I wear repellent. See, wearing repellent doesn't mean that you won't ever get bit. But I'm not going to get bit as much. I want to tell you, a healthy soul will do that for you. The battle, we need to take authority. Hey, we need to go after the lion. This is why Samson said this later to really irritate and aggravate the enemy. Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Because what happened was this, is that a while later, he's traveling the same road, went to the same rest area. I'm pretty comfortable with that. That's what the blonde does. We'll be traveling on a highway. She said, that one's blonde approved. I want that one. He goes in the same area and he notices bees. And so he went and scooped out honey out of the lion and ate it, was refreshed, restored, renewed. And I want to tell you, this is what I think the Lord's saying to us, and I'm finished. It goes like this. When you are centered in on Jesus and letting His life just be His life in you and through you, anchored in His peace and love, then I want to tell you something. Even when the enemy attacks, you don't have to fear. We have victory. You attack back. Hey, go on the offense. Because I want to tell you, out of every attack that the enemy will bring, this is what the Lord will do. He will cause something sweet to come out of it. Amen. That's the picture. Do you see that?
Yeah.
That's what the Lord does. Not anything done in His name on this earth will ever be wasted. You'll be rewarded here and there forever.
Amen.
And so I'm telling you, hey, isn't this what Caleb said and Joshua said when they came back? They said, hey, 10 came back and said, hey, them giants going to eat us up, man. We snacks for them. Joshua and Caleb said, you know what? The Lord has already given us the victory. They're ours. And I want to tell you something. They're snacks for us. Now, so whatever you're facing, I'm announcing to you, it's just a snack for Jesus. But I'm telling you, He will reward you with a snack as you keep your focus on Him. That's going to refresh you, restore you, and renew you. And all the people said?
Amen.
Okay. Bow your heads right quick, and we're going to move on to other part of the service. But I want you to just say amen when I read this, okay? Lord Jesus, thank You for Your mighty presence in my life.
Amen.
Thank You for giving me the power and authority to trample upon the devil and all his cohorts. I believe that You will turn every evil and negative situation that the devil throws at me into something sweet for me. I declare that my giants will be as bread to me because You're with me and for me. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen. Okay.